Saffron crouched in the angle of one of the ruined shacks. Nazira was beside her as they stared back down the alley and watched the dervish tormenting her father and Rebecca. Saffron was too shocked to speak or weep. When the executioner stepped up to David and held the sword over him, she covered her mouth with both hands to prevent herself uttering a sound that might betray them, but she could not tear her gaze away from the harrowing sight. When the dervish made the fatal stroke and her father's corpse fell forward, Saffron was at last released from the spell. She began to sob silently. She watched them tormenting Amber with their father's head and could not control her tears. When at last they dragged Rebecca and Amber towards the waterfront, Saffron jumped to her feet and took Nazira's hand. The two ran on towards Ryder Courtney's compound. Dawn was breaking when they reached it, and the light was growing stronger. The gates of the outer compound stood wide, and the buildings were deserted. The dervish had not yet spread out from the centre of the town as far as this. They ran on across the inner courtyard. Saffron paused long enough to peer through the open door of the blockhouse. It was empty, stripped of every item of value. "We are too late. Ryder has gone," she cried to Nazira. With a despairing heart, she ran on towards the canal gates. They were closed but unbarred. It required their combined efforts to push them open. Saffron was the first through. Then she stopped abruptly. The intrepid Ibis's mooring was empty, and the steamer was gone. "Where are you, Ryder? Where have you gone? Why have you left me?" She gasped for breath and fought back the dark waves of panic. Once she had gathered herself, she turned and raced along the canal towpath towards its juncture with the Blue Nile. She had not yet covered more than half the way to the first bend in the canal before she smelt the wood smoke from the Ibis's funnel. "He can't be too far ahead," she told herself, and her spirits soared. She pulled quickly ahead of Nazira, who was struggling to keep pace with her. When she reached the first bend in the canal and came round it, she screamed at the top of her voice, "Wait for me! I'm coming! Wait for me, Ryder!" The Ibis was 200 yards ahead. She was puffing away down the channel towards the open river. Saffron summoned every last ounce of strength and raced after it. The little steamer was not yet under full power, but was easing her way carefully down the shallow, winding canal. With this last burst of speed, Saffron began to overhaul it. "Wait, Ryder, wait!" In the glowing sparks from the smokestack, she could just make out Ryder's dark figure in the angle of his bridge. But he was looking ahead. The pumping steam cylinders drowned her voice. "Ryder!" she screamed. "Oh, please look round!" Then she saved her breath and ran with all her heart. Ahead of her, the Ibis reached the entrance to the river and increased her speed, pulling out into the stream of the Nile current. Saffron came up short on the edge of the bank. She cried out again, danced up and down and waved both hands over her head. The Ibis drew away rapidly into the softly swirling banks of silver mist that hung low on the water. Saffron dropped her arms and stood still. Nazira came up beside her, and the two hugged each other in despair. Suddenly, a rifle shot rang out on the towpath behind them. They spun round and saw four dervish running towards them. One halted and levelled his rifle. He fired another shot. The bullet kicked dust from the towpath at their feet and ricocheted across the river. Saffron turned back towards the rapidly departing shape of the Ibis. The rifle shot had alerted Ryder, and he was staring back at them. Saffron was lifted on a new wave of hope. She shrieked again and waved her arms. Then Ryder was bringing the little steamer round in a tight circle and heading towards them. She looked back at the dervish. All four were running towards her in a bunch. She saw at once that they would be upon her before the Ibis could reach the entrance to the canal. "Come," she called to Nazira. "We must swim." "No," Nazira shook her head. "Al-Sakawi will take care of you. I must go back to look after my other girls." Saffron would have argued, even though the pursuers were closing in swiftly, but Nazira forestalled her protests and ducked off the towpath. She disappeared into the swamp reeds that grew along the verge. "Nazira!" Saffron shouted after her. But the yells of the dervish were louder still. She pulled off her shoes, tucked up her skirts, and ran to the edge of the canal. She drew a deep breath and dived in. When her head broke the surface, she launched out towards the approaching steamer in a determined dog paddle. "Good girl," she heard Ryder's voice, and kicked wildly with both legs, pulling at the water with her cupped hands. Behind her she heard another shot, and a bullet kicked up a fountain that showered her head and ran into her eyes. "Come on, Safi!" Ryder was leaning over the side of the steamer, ready to grab her. "Keep swimming!" At last she felt the current catch her and push her faster. Then she saw his face above her and reached up to him. "Got you!" Ryder said. With a single heave, he plucked her out of the river as though she were a drowning kitten and swung her up onto the deck. Then he shouted to Bakshit, "Take her out again!" Bakshit spun the wheel and the deck cantered over into the turn. Once more they headed out into midstream. The dervish was still firing at them from the towpath, but swiftly the river mist closed around them, and although the bullets still splashed about them or pinged off the steel superstructure, the man had lost sight of them. At last, the gunfire petered out.